Just what went through your mind and heart today? That though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. John chapter 6. Finally, a little winter came. It's all right. It's warm out, according to our standards.
115 inches of snow in Buffalo so far, 13.9 in Rochester. And to that I say, hallelujah. All right, this is a little bit of an extension of Sunday's message, but I was encouraged in studying it. John chapter 6 and verse 14. And those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Father, I pray you bless your word to our hearts tonight. And I'll pray it now, Lord, to give us safe traveling mercies home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He departed. Why? Look over in chapter 7 and verse 6. Of course, we talked about the kingdoms, and it wasn't the right time for the kingdom they were wanting to make him king of. But it says in verse 6 of chapter 7, John, "Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready." Here's tonight's message, as Pastor Folk would say, you would go to sleep after I'm done saying this. God's will doesn't just include what, it includes when. Right thing plus wrong time equals wrong thing. That's heavy and that's scary. We know he's going to be king. The Old Testament prophets told us that. We read the government shall be upon his shoulders, the increase of his government. We know this is the one, shall be no end. What are we waiting for? Let's make him king. I mean, he's going to be king someday, isn't he? Right thing, wrong time equals wrong thing. And we can learn from that in our lives. Now, there's never a time for a right time for a wrong thing. A wrong thing is always a wrong time. But the right thing at the wrong time usually makes a mess. And we automatically think, wrong time, I don't want to rush. But let me tell you what another wrong time is. I don't want to wait too long. We'll get to that. Let's learn from God's timing a little bit. Try not to put a song in you old timers' head, but Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. The preacher, chapter 3. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So I want to talk tonight about, I mean, we want God's timing, right? We want his will, and his will includes his timing. So I want to look at just some different influences that guides his timing in our life. Number one, some things are obvious in timing. You don't have a lot of a time to plant. Pretty much everyone knows you don't plant now. Not outside. All right, so that's I'm not sitting here saying, God, when do you want me to plant? Should I go out there today? No. It's, you don't plant corn in the winter. You don't give an infant a gun. Why? It's not the right time. Everybody knows that. Before you take the bar exam, you should probably go to law school. Everybody pretty much knows that. In the ministry, you don't. Paul said not to appoint a bishop, not a novice, lest being lifted up in pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Maybe right thing, but wrong time. It's pretty obvious. You don't do things that God designed to do after marriage before marriage. And that used to be obvious, but it's not anymore. And it usually makes a mess. And that's why America's a mess. That's a big reason why America's a mess. The heathen lived closer to the Bible 100 years ago than some Christians do today. Some things in the timing of God are obvious. Go to Ecclesiastes 3, Hebrews 9. Better listen to me. Hebrews, I get that about once a year. Ecclesiastes chapter, it's never happened at night before. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 2. A time to be born and a time to die. You don't get much choice in that timing. Hebrews 9, verse 27 is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I believe you can change your appointment with death. I could go home and do it tonight if I wanted to. But you're not going to cancel the appointment. Some things, and I think of this Ecclesiastes, it's not all about, it's a time for me to do this, and it's a time for me to do that, and it's a time for me to do this, and it's time for... Sometime I'm going to heal, sometime I'm not. A lot of those things are just cause and effect of what goes on around us. So, number three, some timing just makes good common sense. Proverbs 25. If you sleep tonight, you're going to miss it because we're going to be fast. Proverbs 25, and everybody said amen. Verse 20. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to an heavy heart. Romans 12. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that do weep. Well, at a funeral, you don't say, come on, let's sing. I'm inside, outside, upright, downright, happy all the time. Come on, man, we got to trust the Lord. They're in heaven now. That's the wrong time. You don't sing songs like that to a heavy heart. You weep with them that weep. A lot of timing just takes tact and wisdom and good old-fashioned common sense. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll have Vicki get up and lead that to get you ready for hope, get you after the service here. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now we're talking about some bad things. This is the end times. What they're gonna make forbidding to marry, abstain from meats, and in verse 3, verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. There it is. The dietary laws are over. Praise the Lord for lobster. The Bible says it. I believe it. No, this is not the time for dietary laws. I didn't say it's not the time to diet. Some of us could use that kind of dietary law. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. The same guy that wrote that wrote this, verse 13. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Time for the dietary laws is over. Unless me eating something wrong in their presence offends. So you don't prepare ham and lobster bisque when you're having your Jewish friend over from work. It's obvious. It's common sense. It's deference. We defer. Well, that's just those customs. Render custom to whom custom is due. This is kind of like school we're having here today. Like timing. You don't show up when someone invites you for dinner at their house at 4. You don't show up at 3:30. If you show up at our house early, you're going to find surprises. And you don't show up at 4:30. You show up at 4. Good. Dress is another one. I know you're not supposed to talk about that no more, but and the church has lost its timing compass on this thing, but there are it used to just be common knowledge. There is a time to dress formal, like if you're going to meet with the president. That is the time to dress formal. It used to be church was the time to dress formal. Now it is promoted to dress sloppy and casual. I marvel at worldly funerals. I'm talking about not funerals of our stripe, but of unsaved people. Sometimes we'll get unsaved people at our funerals, and I'm not blaming the women of the world because they don't know better. But what they do know, a funeral is a time to be formal. And funeral is usually a time to wear what color? Black. The trouble is the only black thing they have is something that looks like saran wrap that got chopped off, and they're wearing it at a funeral. It's not time for that. Timing. At a funeral, at a church, some timing just takes wisdom. Is this the time? Do I want to talk to this person about this? I got to be careful when I tell things that, you know, personal things that I'm involved in, but I'll be as general as I can, but it really fits. Because I've learned, Dylan, I've learned over the years, shut up, stupid. That's the Lord's pet name for me. If you're feeling that anxiousness, stop. We made a decision. I put the thing together. Gave it to Brother Jay. He passed it on. The decision, it was very obvious, that was blatantly not followed. I mean, in your face, blatant. And I was ready. You know, you're doing that to the wrong guy. I didn't learn couth in school like I'm trying to teach you. And I was going to be public about this. And something said to me, Jason, you better not, stupid. Okay. So, I waited. And I said to Brother Jay, did you say change your mind on this thing? Oh, no. Okay. Then I said, wait a minute. I put this together. You presented it. Did you present it? Because really, I had a hard time believing that this person would be so blatant, because they're really not that type. You know, the guy forgot. Man, that's powerful, isn't it? You're not going to get that on a shingled roof sack, right? It's not the time, maybe, to get up in somebody's face. Maybe this isn't the... You don't have to say it right away. A fool uttereth his whole mind. Swift to hear, slow to speak. And other times you have to speak up and say it. Timing. And I wrestled all day whether I'm going to say this or not, but I'm going to say it. Because it kind of fits. But do you know what the Christian, modest Christian woman's road to immodesty is? Just one little thing that I've known, and I'm making a prophecy. It's not like that now, but I'm saying this so when it comes to pass, you can say, he's a prophet. If it doesn't come to pass, just say, he's not a prophet, and don't regard him as a prophet. Well, they come out with these things a while back. I don't know what they call them. Bicycle pants, leggings, warmers, whatever they call them. And our really Christian ladies that believe in, you know, distinctives and that, and just, they were a blessing to them because they're warm. I mean, I believe in modesty, but I'm glad I don't have to go bare-legged out in this kind of weather. And so these things came on, and you didn't have to wear farmer pants underneath your skirt, and so it made for a nice little warmer. Are you with me? Okay. You know what I'm talking about. But then I think, and I don't agree with this, but it's okay. I think the concept is, now that my skin is covered, I can bring my skirt up a little bit. Because after all, the skin's not the skin and the shape and all that stuff's what's immodest. So now I got a shorter skirt, but the skin's still not covered. Gray area. I'll give it to you. Can you make me a promise, ladies? Don't take the leggings off. Because you're wearing a skirt that you would never wear without those things. But I just got a feeling that the first day it gets hot, I got to take these things off. And then all of a sudden we're running around with... Can I say that to the church family? Amen. All right. Some timing is just common sense. And I don't want to, I'm not going to go off on immodesty because we don't have a lot of immodesty here. But immodesty in the church, it's just the wrong time to be. Proverbs 27. Common sense. You did what? When? Why? You want to make him a king? Oh, I got to get out of here. Why? You're going to be king? It's not time for me to be king. Proverbs 27:14. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse unto him. Babies and children don't understand that. And neither does pastor folk. That man is loud in the morning as he is at night. I mean, we go to our little getaway in Florida. He is up, and the second he's up, I'm like, let me have my coffee, man. Remember the front door out? I'm going to miss that, kind of. Hey, Mrs. Christian, how you doing? Praise the Lord. Man, he's been up for 4 hours already. You know, he writes his emails at 4. I taught my kids, shh, in the morning. Now, that was easier only raising one boy and 8 girls. You know, The stairs are not your sledding hill. Timing. Right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. Some timing is obvious. Some you have no choice. Some is just common sense. But here's what I really want to get at concerning it today. It's some timing. What it requires is walking with God and knowing God and being sensitive to the voice, and I'm not being spooky, of the Holy Spirit of God. The still, small voice that says, stupid, you better not do that right now. That's what we need. And we got a whole, probably our biggest segment of this church right now is in valleys of decision that's going to make major direction for your life. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Lord, show me what and show me when. Don't just show me what, show me when. First Chronicles 17:4. Now let's go start in 3. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, by the way, these Old Testament, they had the good fortune, even though we have a more sure word of prophecy, they had the good fortune of getting an audible voice. When the man of God got a directive, it was a direct directive, go tell him, and this guy heard it, okay? Whether saw a vision, heard a dream, or saw a dream, okay? So we're in verse 3. And it came to pass the same night, the word of God came to Nathan, saying, go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt, say the next word, not build me an house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in an house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle to another. All right, go over to verse 11. It came to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. You know what David had to hear from God? David had to hear from the man of God that said, you know what? Not you, not now. That's a hard pill to swallow. I mean, you're David. You love God. I want to build a house. You ever stop to think that some of our vision, that you that have been around for a while, might not be fulfilled till our kids are running the show here? I wouldn't do a lot different. I'm not sure I'd do anything, but I can't say that because I'd have to sit down and think. But I'll tell you, and it's not for not trying, but where I feel, I don't want to say we failed, but is winning souls. I mean, the people we got are a lot of ready-made people that were needing feeding from the Word of God. But as far as winning souls and people coming to church and walking the aisles, man, we haven't seen a lot of that. I'm wondering if our best days are ahead. I'm wondering what this transition coming in. Brother Jay and I talked about this. If the guy up the road might have a little bit more tendency to drop in and stay in with the new guy versus the old guy. I don't know. But you know what he said? He said, don't be too discouraged. I'm not gonna, you can make the preparations, but it's going to be your son. Let's not neglect the next generation. Let's keep our vision. I hit twice this week. Twice in a week. A kid that went out from among us. This is encouraging, and God knows I have needed this with the sort of the onslaught lately. But I got an email from a young man that went out from here and took a total different direction, and I'm not sure everything. And you know what he said? He said, he's pastoring a church somewhere, and he said, I would not be the man I am without your input and guidance in my... Listen, it's not over till it's over. Another one called me this weekend. They left bad. Young man. And he said, Pastor, yeah? Listen, I just want to apologize for the way I left. Man, God will get in that thing. He can't say amen audibly because we're in a different dispensation, but he sure can melt that snow off the roof. Some timing is only going to be discerned by knowing God and walking with God. That night I walked out of First Bible Baptist Church having had that meeting with George Grace, and we got the blessing, and I was next slated to be on staff. And I can remember it was, I can't remember what time of year it was, but I know that as I was walking out to my car, I was parked way out in the corner, and I looked back and saw it was dark out and saw the lights in that building, and something said to me, "Are you out of your mind?" Sometimes you don't see the clear will of God till you look back. But you got to take that step, and you got to make sure the timing is right, and that's going to take prayer, and that's going to take fasting, and that's going to take counsel. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 again. And then we'll go to Psalm 139. It'll be done pretty soon. Ecclesiastes, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I'm going to just show you some Bible. I don't have answers for all of this, what I'm going to give you now. But if I can confuse you enough to push you to try to discern the will of God, my mission will be accomplished. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 8. A time to love. That's why I don't want a metal roof. You imagine the poor guy standing out there picking up sticks? And a time to hate. What? I didn't see that on the back of the NFL helmets, Tim. Time to hate. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 18. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. Really? It says there's a time to hate. Now, let me just give you this before you run with this. Because that would be real easy to obey. If you're going to err on the other side of God, who is love. Psalm 5. You're in the Psalms. Psalm 5. This is a crazy book. Psalm 5. And I'm crazy about it. Its riches are unsearchable and ways past finding out. Psalm 5 and verse 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. It says he's angry with the wicked every day. But I thought we're to love even our enemies. Yet the man after God's own heart said, I hate the enemies of the Lord with a perfect hatred, whatever that is. So which is it? There must be a time for one, and there must be a time for other, and I want to get it right before God. I don't want to do the wrong thing at the wrong time. We need to hear from God Himself. 1 Samuel 12, Jeremiah 14. 1 Samuel 12. You say you're trying to confuse us? Yeah. 1 Samuel 12. And you young guys, I know what you're thinking about with the timing. But wait till you get married and get these kids and start thinking about timing and job changes. And Lord help us. 1 Samuel 12 and Jeremiah 14. 1 Samuel 12, verse 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Pray without ceasing. Amen? Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah, then Ezekiel. Jeremiah 14. In verse 10, Jeremiah 14:10, thus saith the Lord unto this people, Thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore, the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people. Is there a time when you stop? If you're going to err, I'd err on the side of without ceasing. You know what Jesus said? He said, pray for them which despitefully use you. And then in the garden, he said, Lord, I don't pray for the world. I pray for them. You know what we need? We need discernment in our prayer meeting. Listen, I hope you all make it to the prayer meeting. But in light of this, this is not the end. The prayer meeting is not, hurrah, we did it. That's why Paul said the Spirit, and the charismatics have messed this all up, blah, 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 blah. The Spirit maketh intercession with groanings, which, anybody know what the next word is? Cannot be uttered. Not can be uttered. Those are groanings that can be uttered. The Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings which cannot be uttered. Say, Lord, oil my prayers. Condition. Remember the message on conditioning? Condition my prayers. So I pray. The Holy Spirit oils them. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever liveth to make intercession for the saints, presents it to the Father, and hopefully by then it's right. Man, we're trying to just get people praying, me included, let alone how do you pray? Trying to confuse us? Yes, I'm trying to bring us to the realization, especially in the day and age we're living, especially at the season of life that a lot of you young people are at, we need to discern the will of God. The timing of God is included in the will of God. What you do for God is as important as when you do it. I've talked a little bit about Sunday. I've avoided a lot of bad decisions just because of timing. And I know us parents, when it comes to being parent, now we're not just concerned about our own timing. Now we got these children we're responsible for.